We must understand and end the human rights disaster that is occurring in occupied Palestine, and one way we can do that is by listening to voices that we would never hear otherwise. To hear Palestinian voices that go unheard in the corporate and state media, tune into this radio station every week. This is Kristen S. reporting from occupied Palestine.
This week in occupied Palestine, Israeli occupation forces continue to invade cities such as Jenin, Nablus, Bethlehem, Rafah, Khan Yunis, and the northern Gaza Strip. In Nablus, Israeli soldiers shot two men. One they took to an unknown location, and another they let go. He's now hospitalized. Also, Israeli occupation forces took two teenage girls and their fathers from Nablus yesterday. These are the kinds of things that have been happening, and they happen with such regularity that they almost go unnoticed. Undercover Israeli soldiers killed a man in a restaurant in Jenin. They opened fire on the restaurant while it was full of patrons in the morning. A taxi driver was injured and later died. This was a targeted assassination against one of the people who was in the restaurant. Of course, targeted assassinations are illegal under international law, but that doesn't stop Israel from committing them, and it doesn't stop them from openly admitting that they're doing so. Israeli occupation forces are also demolishing houses in Jerusalem, as usual, and taking people from Bethlehem and its surrounding villages. Something else that's happening that's very disturbing is that last night Israel confiscated 5,000 more dunams of Palestinian land outside of Bethlehem at the container checkpoint on Wadi Nar Road. That's between Bethlehem and Jerusalem. This is traditionally a very difficult checkpoint for Palestinians to get through, and elderly people, kids, any people who want to pass out of Bethlehem end up having to climb a mountain to get there, and this takes hours. Sometimes it's not possible at all. It's very, very dangerous for the people. The Israeli soldiers often open fire on them. So now taking 5,000 more dunams of the Palestinians' land in that area, it's very disturbing to the people because they fear what the Israelis plan to do with it, which is close off Bethlehem even further than it already is and create more destruction in the West Bank. The apartheid wall is going up in just outside of the Qalandia checkpoint, which blocks Ramallah, in a village called Abu Dis. It's actually a Jerusalem suburb. And so what's happening now is that the Israelis are destroying the property around there and to put in this wall, which is going to block off the people. Now, one man told me, you know, now this is going to be the West Bank, and that's going to be Jerusalem. Well, they used to be the same thing, not anymore for people. Also, in the Sulfite region where the apartheid wall is being constructed, farmers and villagers have been engaging in daily protests against the construction, refusing to move, standing in front of the bulldozers and telling them, we won't let you take our land. Israeli soldiers opened fire on them, have been shooting different sorts of gas at them, not just tear gas, it seems, according to medical sources, because some of the people are going into spasms they hadn't seen before and also being comatose for several hours, which is something that the medics aren't used to seeing from normal tear gas inhalation, which, of course, is bad in and of itself. But this is even worse. The Zawiya and Skaka villages in the Sulfite region saw the most action today in this regard, and most of the people in the area are trying really, really hard to stop this wall from going up. And although I don't think that people seem to feel that it's really going to stop the Israelis from building this wall, at the very least, they're standing up and saying, we don't want it here. We know what you're doing is illegal. Today we're going to talk to two people from Bitzahor in the West Bank. One is from Bitzahor and one is from Bethlehem. And we're going to talk to them about how the situation is for young people in the West Bank right now. Welcome to the show, Zayda Mirna. Oh, I'll start by asking you, Zayd, do you want to talk about what happened to you when you were walking home?
Well, yeah, I wasn't walking home. I was walking to my girlfriend's house. While I was passing the road, a jeep came, a big car, you know, and it started shooting at me about 5 bullets, but they missed. But I felt that someone or something was getting those boats away from me, you know? I was about 5 feet from them. They could kill me just with any shot that they missed. I don't know how, but I'm sure that God or someone helped me. And I really felt great when it happened. But also I was so scared, a lot.
How about you, Myrna? Do you want to talk about some of the things that have happened to you? Maybe what were some of the consequences you faced after the Israelis killed your friend's sister?
Oh, yeah. Yeah? Well, in last year, 2003, exactly on the 25th of March, there was a big, horrible and terrible experience that I went in. The Israeli soldiers killed and shot my friend's sister. Actually, they were all the family were going in the car shopping, and it's normal. And by mistake, a similar car of their car passed. They the soldiers thought that this car, the both cars, had some wanted people that they want to arrest. But unfortunately, they started shooting on both cars, and by mistake, or accidentally, let's say, they shot my friend's car. She was Christine Saadeh, her name is. She was killed, and her sister, who is my friend, best friend, was injured. And her father was injured so badly. He had 8 bullets in his side and back. For me, it was my first experience in during this intifada, and I wish that it won't repeat, and I won't face another one. But it was so bad because it was my first one, and I felt so bad and horrible. For the question you asked about, Kristen, you asked about the consequences that I faced after this experience. I felt in the beginning I was so weak. I was so, let's say, destroyed, totally destroyed, because she was one of my best friends. But I started to, everyone started to telling me I should get over it and forget, because that's our life, and many people are killed every day, and many people are injured every day, and that, these are the consequences of the intifada which we are living in. It was a horrible experience, but thank God I got over it, and thank God with my friends and with my family, they supported me a lot, and thank God everything is okay right now.
How about you, Zaid? What happens when the Israeli military, they often invade Beit Sahur, right? So it's pretty normal, but what are some of the things that have happened to you when, or some of the things you saw when they were invading your neighbor's house?
I was in our neighbor's house, and they entered it, and they told us, you all here, go to the bedrooms, quickly, go, before we kill all of you. And we got inside it. After 10 minutes or 15 minutes, they told us, okay, get out. And they did nothing, just they... I thought that they were just thirsting, you know, soldiers holding the tanks and past the streets and long time killing and shooting. So I got tired from it. They have to rest a little bit. Oh, poor soldiers. Okay, that's all.
How about you, Myrna? What happened when the Israeli soldiers broke into your house?
Well, actually, that was during the 40 days in Christian, in 2002, yeah. That day I was sleeping, actually. I was so sleepy and tired, so I went sleeping so early. They broke in our house it was 11 o'clock, yeah. The thing happened when my brother was taking a shower in the bathroom. which is outside the house, and my family was sitting and watching TV in another room in the sitting room. So they entered in a indirect way to the bathroom, and they started pounding on the door and saying to my brother, "Yalla, yalla, come on, come on, open the door because we're gonna kill you. Come on, if you don't open the door, we're gonna shoot at you." So my brother was so scared, and he didn't know what to do. So he opened the door and talked to them. They were asking to go outside the bathroom and the sitting room. My family, and they started to search and look for things. The aim of their entering and breaking in my house was to search if we had any, let's say, bullets or any explosions or wanted people, maybe. But they searched for maybe 2 hours. They took my brother and started to hit him. They hit him a lot, and he had many bruises on his face and legs. Yeah, but I don't know exactly what they felt that moment, because I was sleeping, but they told me that my mom was so, she told me that she was so blessed, because usually she fears a lot from these things, but in that experience she was so normal. She felt like nothing is happening there, and she talked with my father to them normally. So that's it. After that, they asked my family and my brother to take the soldiers to the neighborhood and the neighbors' houses to make the same thing, to search for things and look for them. But he did, and nothing they found. So that's it. They went, and that's it. Thank God.
So you guys are teenagers, right? Tell me how old you are, and what are some of the things you're hoping for in your lives?
I'm Zaid, 16 years old. What do you hope in my life? I'm as a teenager. I'm a boy, of course. I hope, of course, to get married and have children. Of course, my wife's going to be beautiful and cute, not like anyone. And what else? Of course, I hope to pass the last year of our education, which is the Tojihi. High school. Here, when I pass it, as I'm going to my future, and of course, in my future, I would love to be someone special in the society, like scientist or something in the genetics, you know, so I can help people and genetic stuff. I can make new things in the in humanity history. Of course, I wish to do this. What else should I say? Okay, that's all.
Very good ambitions, my friend. Okay, for me, I'm Mirna. I'm 16 years old, 17, sorry. And I'm same as Zaid. We're going to have the high school next August, September. Yeah. Of course, I look forward to pass the Tawjihi, which is the high school here in Palestine and in the Arab world, with a grit, with a high mark. And I'm actually in the scientific stream, so I have some troubles in physics and mathematics, but I hope to pass so easily. Yeah, and that's it. Actually, my dreams, or let's say wishes, is not the same as Zaid, because I don't see the Tawjih is my target, or let's say aim, but it's just a level that you pass to go to your life, to the college or university, as whatever. So my ambitions are I love acting a lot. I would like to, I look forward to study acting and drama and directing. I would like to be a director in the future, especially for movies and series. I love them a lot. And also, I would like to be a ping pong player. I love that. That's my hobby, by the way. And for my wishes, I wish we can live in peace one day, and the intifada finishes, and the we're gonna يعني, come up with the final conflict resolution with the Israelis, because we're sick and tired of war and the intifada and incursions and curfews, etc., etc. So I hope, and we hope, all of us hope that that the situation will get better soon. And live peacefully and happily with the our neighbors, the Israelis. That's for general wishes. For my personal wishes, or let's say dreams, as I told you, I wish to be a famous and a very good actress and director in the future, in the in my community and in abroad. I wish to be a celebrity one day and have some prizes, like whatever prizes. I won't take the Oscar, by the way. It's too hard for, especially for... That's it for now, and thank God.
Thanks so much for talking with us today. From Occupied Palestine, I'm Kristin S.